Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Ido Vok, Europe correspondent in Berlin, and you're listening to World Review from The New Statesman, a twice-weekly international news podcast. Every Thursday, we come together to unpack some of the most significant stories in world affairs, and every Monday, we interview a guest for their unique perspective and expertise. Today, I'm speaking to Svetlana Tikhanovskaya. Mrs. Tikhanovskaya was a candidate in the 2020 Belarusian presidential election, running against incumbent Alexander Lukashenko. She is widely considered to have legitimately won that vote, although official results showed Lukashenko winning with 80% of the vote. Mrs. Tikhanovskaya was subsequently forced into exile in Vilnius, Lithuania, where she continues to head the democratic opposition in Belarus. Mrs. Tikhanovskaya, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for the invitation. Hello, everyone.
In recent days, we have seen a dramatic escalation of the migrant crisis at the border between Belarus and Poland. Thousands of people are believed to be camped out just meters away from the border where they've been attempting to get into Poland. What is your response to the events of recent days and weeks?
No, I'm really sorry for these people who are suffering, who are frozen on the border. Some of them got beaten and injured by the regime's thugs. Migrants are hostages and victims of the regime that is using them as cannon fodder. And many of them anyway stay in Minsk and refuse to go to the border knowing how they are treated there. But we are fully understand that this migration is fully orchestrated by the state. It was created artificially to put pressure on European Union, on Poland and Lithuania that supporting Belarus democratic movement. Lukashenko, with this migration crisis, wants to destroy unity in Europe, split the West. The other point is that regime, Lukashenko himself, needs recognition. He wants attention. He wants Europe start talking to him again. They didn't want, European Union didn't recognize Lukashenko as legitimate leader of Belarus because of fraudulent election. And West doesn't want to communicate with criminal who abused thousands of people in Belarus. But Lukashenko needs this recognition. And he's literally blackmailing the European Union with those poor people on the borders. He wants to, to show that, look, I created this migration crisis. I can solve it. Just only start talking to me.
In recent days, Lukashenko has suggested that he is willing to ease the migrant crisis, which he's widely considered to have orchestrated, if the West and Western countries ease up on sanctions and also recognize him as the legitimate president of Belarus instead of you. Should Western countries do this?
Western countries are really strong enough, united enough, not to allow one dictator blackmail them. I think European Union has a strong and principled position with this situation that you can't communicate to the criminal that is that keeps not only migrants as hostages but also 9 million people. We always forget in these circumstances when we see the pictures of poor migrants on the borders that there are also thousands of people in jails, in Belarusian jails, who also humiliated physically and morally, who are deprived of warm clothes, normal food, fresh air. They are kept in awful conditions in the jails. But there is no picture of those people, and democratic society start to forget about this humanitarian crisis as well. And I'm sure that there are other methods of how to solve this migration problem without recognition of Lukashenko, without communication with them. And of course, I'm very firm in our position. You can't recognize Lukashenko. You can't talk to him.
We'll get on to the situation with the democratic opposition in a moment. But just before we do, the EU has recently announced that it is reinforcing sanctions on the Lukashenko regime. Are you happy with the EU's response to the migration crisis and to the aftermath of the election, which the EU considers that you won?
You know, we see that dictatorships understand only the language of power. And sanctions is the only, maybe is the only leverage that Europe and the USA and UK have to put pressure on this regime. Of course, so as my beloved husband, my friends are suffering in jails at the moment because of nothing, because of no reason, because they wanted to be loud about the situation in Belarus, I think that much more could be done, and I hope that stronger sanctions will be imposed on Lukashenko's regime. I understand that the fifth package that is discussed now, that is going to be imposed, will be only about migration crisis. But I have to say that the crisis with migrants cannot be discussed in separation from the political crisis. And Europe has to understand that only with dismantling of the regime, the situation could improve. Because if solve only migration crisis, regime will invent something else. They will invent cruel methods how to put pressure on European Union, how to blackmail European Union. So we asking for stronger sanctions that will not take into consideration only migration crisis, but will impact on regime also because there are millions of people that are suffering because of this dictatorship.
So do you think that the crisis at the border has distracted attention from the situation for the Belarusian people who, you know, voted for you and are living under increasingly harsh repressions within Belarus?
This is one of the aims of this artificial crisis, to distract attention, to shift the focus. But this is our task, speaking about migrants who are hostages of this regime as well, to remind the society time to time that there are thousands of people also suffering in Belarusian jails. We need to keep Belarus on agenda, not only in connection with migrants, but also with connection of lawlessness in Belarus, with human rights abuses, with sufferings of women and men in Belarusian jails.
You mentioned your husband. It's now over a year since you left Belarus. You live in exile in Vilnius. You continue to lead the democratic opposition, but nonetheless, as far as I know, I can't imagine you've been back to Belarus. Can you talk about your life in exile and what it's been like outside of Belarus? Obviously, your husband is still in prison. You're getting international recognition as the legitimate president of Belarus, but nonetheless, you're outside of your country or in exile. What's that like?
You know, I really can't say that I am leave. I'm fighting every day. I am still a mom of two children for whom, you know, I have to fulfill like mother's obligation. But of course, my older thoughts is about people in Belarus, about our fight. You know, this the fact that I can't communicate with my husband, my children haven't seen their daddy for more than 1 year. Of course, it's painful. But these thoughts about my husband, about Masha Kolesnikova, about thousands of people, of women whom their children are waiting at home, doesn't leave me chance to step away because I have no choice. I have to move forward because I am the same with other Belarusians responsible for those who sacrificed with their personal freedom for the freedom of future freedom of Belarus. So it's difficult. It's tough. It's sometimes you are overstressed, but you can't stop this because you can wake up in the morning. You can have a cup of tea or coffee, but your husband can't. Your friend in jail, they don't have sun for weeks. People are kept in punishment cells, also in the sense of revenge of the administration and of this regime. Of course, you can be tired, but you can't stop. You will take your rest later with your family, but not now.
In the past year, hundreds or thousands of Belarusians have left Belarus because of their activism. They've been forced out exactly in your situation. They've gone mostly to Lithuania, to Poland, to Ukraine. I was wondering if you could talk a bit about how these networks operate, these kind of alternative power structures which are planning for a Belarus, a democratic Belarus, a Belarus after Lukashenko, which obviously they can't do within Belarus.
I have to say that thanks to technologies, it's much easier to communicate now. Even when you are in exile, you don't feel that you are, that you can't influence the situation. We are communicating with the relocants. We are communicating with people on the ground who building structures, who communicate also between each other. We coordinate our actions. It's rather easy to do, in this era of technologies. Despite that regime destroyed all the media in Belarus, destroyed all the NGOs, we're still present in Belarus through YouTube channels, through Telegram. We have to be flexible. We have to be inventive. We have to look for not ordinary ways how to communicate, and it works. Lukashenko and his regime can't shut internet fully. So we are communicating with people all the time, and we are coordinating our actions with other democratic forces, with diaspora all over the world who are very active, and we are very grateful to those people who are, spending hours and hours of their free time to help Belarusians. So we use every inch of the opportunities we can to stay united, to be together, to feel each other, to inspire each other.
Wherever you are in the world,
if you're interested in global affairs,
you can subscribe to The New Statesman on digital, in print, or both for as little as £1 a week at thenewstatesman.com/subscribe.
That's just $2 a week in America.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In the past year, you've multiplied contacts with Western governments. You live in Vilnius, you've visited London, Paris, Berlin, Washington, and met with many leaders across the democratic world. But during your election campaign, you argued that if the opposition came to power with you at its head, it would not change Belarus's geopolitical orientation, which is very closely aligned to Russia. But since the election, Russia has steadfastly backed Lukashenko and has gotten closer to Lukashenko. Has the opposition's sort of pro-Russia orientation changed because of Russia's backing of Lukashenko?
We are very respectful to Russian people. You know, we don't want to destroy our relationship. But because Kremlin supported regime after fraudulent elections, they supported violence and tortures in Belarus, of course, the attitude to Kremlin, first of all, has changed a lot. There are less and less people who would be positive about closer unity between to our countries. But we always send a message to Kremlin, look, we always will be neighbors. We need to save our relationship. But we want this relationship to be more transparent, more understandable for Belarusians. And we don't have any right to make any deals or to sign any contracts without the will of Belarusian people. One person can't decide everything for all the Belarusians. So we don't have an anti-Russian mood in Belarus, but we don't understand why Kremlin is supporting Lukashenko, who is political bankrupt, who is so costly economically and politically to Kremlin. Of course, Kremlin may have some advantages of the weakness of Lukashenko. They can buy maybe to sell their loyalty for Belarusian enterprises or whatever they can sell. But we need good relationship, and we think that Russia should be more constructive, understanding that there are, we don't look, into the West. You know, we are just want to solve our internal crisis. It's not about geopolitics at all. But don't interfere. Let Belarusian people themselves decide their future.
And so on the point about Russia, Russia appears to have committed to a transition away from Lukashenko, but on his terms, with a timetable that he chooses. And we've got this referendum that's coming up, which possibly could serve as a way for Lukashenko to step down perhaps from the presidency, but maintain some role in power. Can you talk about how you would engage with that process, and second of all, the planning that you're doing for political transition in Belarus?
This constitutional referendum that is going to be held in February, supposedly, we are not sure if it will be declared at all, it will not change the situation in Belarus. This referendum is about nothing. If constitution doesn't work in our country, this variant of constitution or next variant, it doesn't matter when there is lawlessness in Belarus. Only full change of dictatorship, free and fair elections could change the situation. So we want to use this referendum that is going to be declared by illegitimate leader of Belarus. We want to use it as the event for mobilization of people. We want to say a decisive no to Lukashenko. Of course, we will hold alternative counting on this referendum. Again, we want to use all the possible technologies to prove that this referendum is illegal. We don't want to vote for any outcome of this referendum because it can't be organized at all, because nobody gave this will to Lukashenko. So our workers are preparing for nationwide strike. We have so-called victory plan among Belarusian citizens. We will use every point, every moment, to say that we are against this, that, Lukashenko, you are nobody for Belarusian people. We don't know. There can be many scenarios how it will develop. including that sanctions are starting work, American sanctions are starting work on December, and new European sanctions are coming. So it could change the situation at any moment. But of course, we have to be prepared. We have to keep people in mobilization. And Lukashenko also afraid of mobilization of people. He also doesn't need this referendum. Maybe somebody makes him to have it. But anyway, of course, we will use this event, this momentum for uniting people again, for showing people.
In really this year, the stakes of Lukashenko's leadership had become internationalized. They're not just about repression within Belarus. We had the hijacking of the Ryanair plane and Roman Protasevich. Then we had the case with Kristina Tymanovskaya in Tokyo, and now we've got these migrants with on the border with Lithuania and Poland, and so the stakes of Lukashenko's leadership have risen, which means that there must be some sense within regime officials, people in Belarus who are close to who are part in some way of the system, that it can't go on forever, that the stakes have escalated. Do you have any contacts with regime officials, people you know, who have some stake in the system? Do you have a sense that their attitude towards Lukashenko is changing?
There are some people our team is communicating to. We have a group of ex-law enforcement officers who left their service because they didn't want to stand with to stay in this regime. They are communicating with the actual law enforcement officers, and we know that even ministers, you know, people in the regime absolutely are not happy with the situation in Belarus. But you just have to understand how people are scared, people are frightened. Regime for 27 years built such a structure where everybody is hooked, where everybody, you know, has a so-called folder that regime can blackmail people with. Most of them want changes, but they also hostages of the regime. They don't know how to fulfill this. And, you know, there is a split in the regime. It's understandable. And a lot of law enforcement officers wouldn't like to live in such country. But people are scared. And there are, of course, absolutely loyal people to Lukashenko, but they are loyal because of some financial issues or because their hands are also in blood. So such people will be with him till the end. But the majority of those who are in the regime, the businesses that could lose everything standing with this regime, they also want changes. We all want to live in normal country where rules of law prevails, where people feel comfortable and safety, and nobody is blackmailed.
As you know, just days after you went to Berlin, Lukashenko spoke by phone with Merkel, I think for the first time possibly since the election. In some ways, this is a victory for him, and it's being spun by state TV as a victory and proof of his influence and his standing. Do you think the West has given in to his tactics?
Absolutely not. I understand Frau Merkel, or what was her intention. She really has, you know, big heart, and she her own intention was to take care about people who are freezing on the borders. I understand her intention from, you know, humanitarian point of view, but as Belarusian, whose beloved and friends are suffering in jails, it's not understandable for me. But I'm sure that, you know, it maybe was her own initiative. And I know that about principled and strong position of European leaders. Nobody is going to legitimize or recognize Lukashenko as, you know, as a real president of the country. He's nobody for democratic countries as well. So, you know, maybe it was a correct step, maybe not. Time will show.
One final question. When do you think you'll return to Belarus?
I can't tell you proper, you know, actual month when I will be able, but I know that I will. Sooner or later, I will go home. I will meet with my husband, and we will build a new Belarus together.
Mrs. Tikhanovskaya, thank you very much for your time. This has been World Review from the New Statesman. You can read all our international coverage on newstatesman.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend and rate us, and possibly even leave us a nice review. Our producer has been Adrian Bradley. The team will be back on Thursday. I'm Ido Vok. Thank you for listening, and until next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.